Good evening. I'm Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk, a radio program produced by and about students. And just so you believe it really is live, it's actually 6:30 here at KUAC, and we're coming to you live from the University of Alaska campus. Joining me tonight in the studio here at 6:30, two folks, Mary Lupke, who is the Project Assault Awareness Project the Sexual Assault Awareness Project Manager over at WICA, which is the Women in Crisis and Counseling Association and Assistance.
Yes,
organization.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I'll get all these titles right sooner or later. And the second guest is Maria, who is a survivor of a rape herself and is here to tell us a little bit from her personal account. Thank you both for coming in here on this chilly Wednesday afternoon, or evening almost. Mary, to begin with, will you kind of set some parameters and perhaps define what acquaintance rape is?
Okay. Well, rape itself is any form of genital contact which a person has not initiated or explicitly agreed to and which is imposed on by this person, by another person, who may use deception, threat, social blackmail, or physical violence to achieve that genital contact.
When people think of rape, generally it's kind of the dark and stormy night and a stranger jumps out of the bushes and grabs you and drags you out behind the bushes.
Uh-huh.
And that's not what we're talking about tonight.
No, acquaintance rape is just that, someone you know, someone you may have trusted until the actual rape when you realize they may not have had your best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm. And this can be boyfriends, stepbrothers, that kind of a thing?
Yes, and it can. Males can also be raped. Women report rapes more often, and women are raped more often, but men are also raped.
Do men, I guess I can understand that happens, but do men ever come in and I mean, that just kind of goes against the, perhaps it's the masculine image of a male, but.
That's why men are so reluctant to report it. It's even more difficult and embarrassing and socially unacceptable for a male to report they were raped because it's against our macho image or stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. And what about the females? Do they come? How many of the rapes do you believe are actually reported?
Very few actually are reported. In a 1984 study, which is admittedly outdated, nearly 4 out of 10 women in a national study reported that they had been raped, and then 1 in 7 in the same study reported that they had been raped by their husbands. Just as an addition.
Raped by their husband. Some people say that's impossible.
Well, that is a myth, yes. That's, if you do not consent to sexual contact, it is rape. If you, if a person says no, that's what they mean, and otherwise it is rape.
Mm-hmm. That study was in, what, 84?
Mm-hmm.
And it said 4 out of 10 women responded.
Mm-hmm.
What is there any current statistics?
Well, conservatively, 1 out of 3 women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetimes. I'd say much more accurately, 1/2 of the women you know, you and I know, will be sexually assaulted.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
How are these facts accumulated? How do you discover these facts?
Well, a lot of them are through the police. But then in addition, a lot of people that report to the police, it doesn't go real far because the police cannot take a case unless they or give it to the DA unless they have assurance that it would be prosecutable. And that's in very few cases because rape is a real difficult crime to prove unless there were witnesses. It's one person's word against another's. Unless there was a lot of physical injury, and then the jury will believe that a person was raped.
Mm-hmm. And also joining me tonight is Maria. Hello, and thanks for coming in. Yours could be a particularly difficult topic for you tonight. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what happened?
Well, I was raped on the university campus last spring, and it was an acquaintance rape, someone that I knew and trusted, which made it particularly difficult for me to deal with. Because like you were saying at the beginning, there is a myth about some young virgin walking down a dark alley and getting raped, and a lot of people are willing to help you out and deal with that because it's socially, they're more aware of it and it's acceptable to themselves about their willingness to help those victims. But if it's somebody that you know and that you trust, then your defenses are down, and it certainly made it very difficult for me because at the time I just couldn't believe that this was happening, that somebody that I knew would do something so terrible to me. And I've been in situations before when I lived in larger cities that very well could have become quite abusive, and I could have gotten raped, but because it was somebody that I didn't know, my defenses were strong, and I could see clearly what was happening and was able to remove myself from that situation.
What, after you, did it take you a while to realize that you'd actually been raped?
Yeah, there was a shock period that I went through, and fortunately through friends and counselors, I was able to see what happened, but it did take several months, and there were still things that I blocked out for, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after the fact.
Right after it happened, did you immediately go to counseling and talk to friends, or did you kind of keep it to yourself for a while?
Oh, no, I kept it to myself, because I just couldn't believe that that had actually happened.
When a rape occurs, it's a lot like the grieving process, because the loss has occurred, and so shock, anger, denial are all parts of the healing process.
Yeah. So, that everybody goes through.
Well, hopefully, in order to heal.
Right.
I think some people go through a constant state of denial, and maybe tonight there may be a person in the audience that will understand that perhaps they were raped and they didn't realize it, or they were just used to an abusive background. Sometimes we put up with stuff that we don't have to.
Right. Maria, when you finally did go to counseling, obviously, I doubt you felt real comfortable about going in, but what finally prompted you to go in and seek help?
Well, I finally realized that what had happened to me wasn't something that was my fault. I had a lot of guilt and a lot of blame that I went through, and I just couldn't believe that this person would have done something to me, so it obviously must have been my fault and I had done something wrong. But then I finally realized that no matter what your actions are, even if you make mistakes or you didn't see what some people would think was obvious, you are not responsible for what anybody else does to you, that they're the one with the problem and they did it, and they're the ones that are at fault.
Rape is a crime of violence. It has little to do with sexuality. It is more a crime of someone who wants to exert power over someone else because of their own feelings of inadequacy.
And that kind of ties in too with, isn't it also, like you said, not necessarily sexual speaking, but isn't it also violent normally and very... And what I'm thinking about is, for instance, like Ted Bundy, when he was executed.
Mm-hmm. You're very correct. It is a violent rape is a violent crime. It's violent.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember when Ted Bundy was executed, he talked, and even you mentioned before the show, the interview that he gave, and he blamed a lot of his problems with explicit pornography.
That's right. He had nothing to lose, and he gave a very moving interview before he was executed about how he was systematically desensitized to being abusive towards women. And basically, this culture accepts images that degrade women and condone sexual violence and ignores sexism. There's sexism, a lot of sexism in the media, and it makes it real possible for... women to be raped and for men to be confused about the fact that they may be forcing themselves on a woman. A lot of rapists think that women, when they say no, mean yes, and apparently even magazines like Playboy and Penthouse encourage that in those letters to the forum or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we need to educate ourselves about.
But, you know, that's something, a word, you know, you use the word of a rapist, and a lot of people who are accused of a date rapers or sexual rape don't think of themselves as rapists.
Right.
I mean, they'd see themselves more like a boyfriend who got aroused and one thing led to another.
A lot of rapists want to come back for more. They think that the woman liked it. So a large proportion of the rapes happen that way. The guy goes back thinking that the woman wants more.
It goes back.
So maybe it's a little bit of social skills training, teaching people how to get along a little better.
Mm-hmm. For people listening at home, if you have any questions, comments, or anything you'd like to add to tonight, give us a call. And that number is 474-5044. And again, if you have any questions or comments, or just like to say hello, call 474-5044. Maria, I'd like to go back. You were talking before, we were mentioning about when you went into a counselor. What did your friends say? Did you have some real close friends you opened up to and talked about this to, or how did they respond?
I was very fortunate to have friends who were very supportive, and it was through their awareness of what had happened to me that I was able to fully see what had happened in my situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with a counselor since it happened. Every week I see a counselor, and I'm making a lot of progress. I think it's really important that if you have been sexually assaulted, whether it was during your childhood, whether it was acquaintance rape, gang rape, any sort of assault in your lifetime, that you definitely need to talk about it, because it's the only way to get the healing process started.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're early 20s, college student. When you were talking about this to girlfriends, did you have some girlfriends who had been raped also?
Oh, just about every girlfriend I have has been through it. Like Mary was saying, half the women in our society have or are going to be raped during their lifetime.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable number.
And rape doesn't all... the fourth degree of rape is sexual intercourse, but there are other degrees of sexual assault. Being touched without permission, being sexual harassment, which you've probably heard about, mm-hmm. Being... When a person can have everything else performed upon them but intercourse, and that is still rape,
mm-hmm.
Oral sex, or just taking the person's clothes off, anything without a woman's permission is sexual assault, or man's permission is sexual assault.
Is it kind of, you were saying that there's four stages? Is it, for instance?
Well, for the one degree would be... mildly touching without permission, and then the fourth stage would be the actual intercourse,
mm-hmm.
and that would be in terms of how it's prosecuted in court when I said the four stages.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different types of rape as well. There's anger rape, which uses sex to vent rage and to retaliate for some perceived wrong, an angry person. And then there's power rapist, person that rapes to compensate for doubts about manhood. And then the sadistic rapist that experiences aggression as an exciting and a pleasurable event. And once again, I think our media encourages all of those.
How so?
Well, I think there's... my first thought was those Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood movies. I think Clint Eastwood's real popular, and he seems kind of a powerful type individual, and not real... Not the most friendly guy. Yeah,
right.
Not the most, the guy next door.
But how does that necessarily? Because you're talking about Dirty Harry, you know.
Well, I think sometimes the victim, the bad guys, they're mm-hmm. really nasty people, and we see that. We see this in movies, and we see this in the media, like The Hustler and the more explicit magazines. And it doesn't matter if it's something negative and that we don't like. If we're exposed to it, it does make an impression on us. Just like, rape is violence. And so just like violent movies, when you see a lot of violence, it might have a little effect on you. That's what Ted Bundy's whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And he very much was against pornography by the time he was executed. Very much against hard, heavy pornography.
But do you think he kind of, I've heard it argued, and again, I was kind of not paying all attention to that whole Ted Bundy thing, but I heard a lot of people say that he kind of used it as a crutch. I mean, he was being executed, and it was kind of his way to adjust the blame away from himself, mm-hmm. and that pornography really doesn't affect people that way.
Oh, yeah. The interview is real powerful. He took full responsibility for his actions, He basically described how the first time he murdered someone, really raped them and then murdered them, that he felt terrible for months, but he got over it. And alcohol helped, of course, as well. And then when he went to his second and third ones, the time, the recovery period in between each became less and less.
Right.
And
that's kind of, well, that, as far as recovery rate getting less and less, that's just...
he got used to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Getting desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
What about alcohol? You made a mention about him. A lot of people, when you think of rape, some women, some people say, for instance, and again, I guess I'm using women here, but say, well, she was dressing in such a way she was brought it on herself, or, you know, we had dinner and then she took me to our apartment. I mean, what'd you expect? That kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was drunk and she came on to me. That's an argument you hear a lot. Any comments?
Well, I definitely think that there are things that men and women can do to prevent themselves from being in abusive situations, but the bottom line, and I think I said this a few minutes ago, is that you are not responsible for what someone else chooses to do for you, and drinking or dressing incorrectly, as some might put it, right, is not an excuse for sexual assault.
What about, I've also heard it argued that people say, well, if you didn't want it to happen, you could stop it. And I did a program on this very same thing a year ago, and one of the girls who was on the show said, I tried everything. And when she said, I tried everything short of kicking and pulling his hair out or something to that effect. And kind of the one the callers called up during that program and said, why didn't you kick him and pull his hair out if you really didn't want it to happen? Did you ever feel at the time, Maria, like you could have stopped it?
Well, I tried very hard to stop it, but there's such an emotional trauma that's occurring to you that... it's very difficult, and you don't think as clearly, you know, say as we are right here
right
now. There's a lot of detachment that occurs, and I think a lot of victims separate themselves from what is actually happening because it is so traumatic, and so they kind of drift out of their body, and they realize what's happening, but it's so unbelievable that it's very hard for them to deal with it.
Just as one does in a state of shock if they're in a car accident.
Right.
The pain is, they're numb if it's a severe injury. Often the woman is put on trial rather than the accused rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a shame. It's what could you have done to stop this person?
Rape seems to be different than all other crimes in our society, in that you being the victim, the survivor, you have to prove that something happened to you and that you have a case. You know, if you go to the police and tell someone that, oh, my wallet got stolen, you know, please help me find it or whatever, it's totally different than going in and saying I was raped.
In that there's no tangible evidence. Is that...
Well, there's no tangible evidence to say that, you know, your wallet was stolen either.
It's true.
Well, I just have two quotes here from Colin Sidor from his book, Someone You Know. Every year, 1 million women are raped. In at least 50% of all rapes, the woman knows her attacker. And along the lines of what we were just talking about, rape is the most underreported of all violent crimes. For every one reported rape, 10 go unreported.
For every one reported. What, Marie, we were talking before the show that you reported your rape. What happened?
Not very much, actually. It was very difficult working with the police because it was somebody that I knew, and physically I didn't have any scars or anything like that on my body, so it's very difficult to prove to them that, look, this really did happen.
Well, you did have a picture of a bruised knee.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that... I mean, like with some crimes, you can get evidence, whether it be hair samples, the sperm samples, whatever it can be. But isn't that a problem with rape, is that normally takes you months before you even talk about it. By the time you report it, the evidence is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's why WICA always has a counselor on duty. If a woman does report a rape and go to the hospital to have herself tested out and the sperm... extracted it in whatever way possible, there is a counselor there to help the woman, right? If she is able to call WICA when she gets to the hospital, she'll have support when she's there.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part is to admit once a woman has or a person has been raped is to accept it immediately and deal with it before a shower has been taken or before the underwear has been burned or washed.
That kind of thing. Marie, when yours happened, it happened here on campus. Anything, did the campus help you? Did you have counselors here on campus that were helping you? Anything here at the university?
There are counselors at the Center for Health and Counseling, three counselors, maybe even four this year, that are available for victims to go talk to. Mm-hmm. And this year, a sexual assault support group has been started on campus, and it meets Thursday nights from 5:45 to 7, and it's open to anyone in the community. They can get information about where the meeting is located either by calling WICA or by calling 455-6286 and leaving a message. But as far as that goes, there's...
Oh, WICA's number is 452-2293 or 452-RAPE. If you dial either of those numbers, you could get a hold of WICA.
Of course, all in the book. What's the first step when someone comes into you or comes to a support group? And I know you're involved with that support group on Thursday nights. What's kind of their first reaction?
Most of the people, it varies, but even like the first five or more meetings that they attend, they say very little at all. Nothing really personal about what happened to them, but they sit there and are very attentive as to what other people say, which is really, really helpful. My personal experience, hearing about what had happened to my friends who had been raped, it made it all the more clear to me that I was not to blame, and that, you know, and that there's hope. These people had survived it, and I can too. So I encourage anybody to come and attend the group meetings. There's also groups set up through WICA if they live downtown or something, and it's more convenient. And it's just very, very helpful to talk about it and to hear what other people say.
Was there a time, you just made mention about how you knew after a while that you would survive. Was there a time there that you felt like it was the end, it wasn't worth it? Did you really feel that guilty?
I don't think I went through that big of a denial. My biggest denial was really facing up to what had happened, and that took a lot of time and a lot of support and assertiveness from my friends. Mm-hmm. To make me realize that I hadn't done something totally wrong and that it wasn't totally my fault. That was my biggest issue.
I think you mentioned a book that was really helpful as well.
Oh, it's called I Never Called It Rape by Robin Warsaw, and it's available at several local bookstores. Specifically about acquaintance rape.
On college campuses.
Yeah, targeted towards campuses.
Is there a real problem with that on college campus?
Almost, I'd say the majority of acquaintance rape occurs on campus.
Acquaintance rape occurs most frequently to women ages 15 to 24, and that's from the National Center for Prevention and Control of Rape in Washington. Another 84 statistic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in 84, 25% of the women in college have been victims of rape or attempted rape, and I'd say that is a lot higher now.
There was a made-for-TV movie that was excellent on acquaintance rape, and at the end of it, it said one out of six women have reported, and a lot of people we know don't report. One out of six college women have reported attempted rape or rape, and one out of 15, in the same study, one out of 15 college men had admitted trying to or raping women, college students.
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys don't believe. I mean, a lot of guys. How do I put this? A lot of people supposedly don't see themselves as rapists.
Mm-hmm, sure, rapists can be the guy next door.
Yeah, exactly. And Maria, was it real? Obviously, it was difficult. Just the whole thing was difficult. But especially since you knew him, How did that affect it all, in that you were friends with this person?
Well, it all goes back to the trust issue that we were discussing at the beginning of the show. You have trust in somebody, and it totally gets blown away. And it's very, very, very hard to deal with. There's so many added emotions that you have to look at and really discover your inner self and find out how you feel about yourself and how strong you are in order to get through what happened.
And we have, we just had a telephone caller. We just lost that. Just lost that call in. The person who did it, and again, no names or anything like that or anything specific, but how did, I mean, were you friends with him, obviously, but were you friends with his friends, that kind of a thing?
No, it was a fairly casual acquaintance.
So, I guess what I'm getting at is, how did his friends react to it? When this all came out in the open, did they blame you?
Oh, they just figured it was a big misunderstanding and that nothing had really happened. He didn't see that what he did was wrong to me. He thought he was helping me.
How so?
Well, in my case, it was a definite power issue. And by raping me, he was putting me back into my place, which a lot of our society sees that women should be in a lower standing than men. And so a lot of people use rape as a way to bring the woman back down so that they can remain in control and in power of the situation.
It's kind of scary because a lot of youngsters think that it's okay if they can get away with it. Some boys have mentioned saying that, and in a 87 study, 31% of the boys and 32% of the girls said it. 32 more girls thought it would be not. It would not be improper for a man to rape a woman who had previous sexual experiences. It's sort of along the same line as saying if you had a drink, it'd be okay. If you were drinking, or if you had a short skirt on, or if you were not a virgin, that it's okay then if you rape somebody. Because.
And the hard part there, too, is defining rape. And we're already at 7 o'clock here. And thank you very much for... Actually, I think we may have a telephone call to end the show off. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to ask the women there if they would comment. Do you feel that an alteration or an improvement in the in a woman's view of herself or her self-image would help reduce the number of rapes that happen?
Any comments?
Once again, it's looking at the woman, what the woman can do, and sure, it would help if a woman was a little bit more aggressive or assertive, yes, in that respect.
What about just, you know, society-wide? I think that's what I'm thinking of mostly.
Low self-esteem?
Yes, and just women, you know, not really feeling that they have the possibility of just saying... or their being in such a way that that a rape, a person wouldn't consider even thinking of doing such a thing. I really feel like women's self-image has a lot to do with that.
Any comments there to end the show off with?
Well, we may have to speak with you after the show and to clarify, but so maybe you might want to hold on to the line.
On that thought there. And unfortunately, we're at 7 o'clock to end on that note here, and time now to do on to the next program. Thank you for joining us, Maria and Mary, and perhaps we can do another program, because I know this topic definitely warrants continuing discussion.
Great.
Thank you for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. And Maria, thanks for coming in and telling us a little bit from by yourself. That's all time we have tonight for Straight Talk, and until next Wednesday night, I'm Bill Campbell. Good night.